23, 28. We are live. This is Self-Contained Lola. You can see there's a little tiny window behind me. That's the only view I have of the outside world. I have been underground for days now. Yeah, and I won't come up until the mechs are killed.
And I'm coronavirus Psy.
Yep. Hey, CV Psy.
CV Psy.
Woo-hoo! I like it. CV Psy. All right. So what's going on, CV Psy?
Well, you know, we're hunkered down. Hunker bunkered. And you know, we don't have any eggs or toilet paper, but you know, we're making do. We're making do, as Lance Corporal Dump Gravel will tell you. We're making do.
Got that face. One sheet at a time.
One sheet. Yeah, one sheet will last you for a day if, you know, you're fairly regular. If you got to go four times, then, well, you know, you might need four sheets, but that's okay.
Four sheets to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you'll need.
But, yeah, anybody out there curious about how that works, just go Google for, you know, Lance Corporal Dump Gravel and watch his video. He'll tell you how you can conserve your toilet paper. I got to tell you, that's that goes back probably 30 years, Marine Corps history. I was actually privy to this top secret information on how to conserve your toilet paper. But it's out there. Go look for it. I'm sorry I pointed you there, but enjoy.
Pointed.
Yeah, pointed. Yeah, it's, yeah. Definitely pointed. So we're doing entertainment at this point, and wow, there's been, I've not really watched a lot of stuff because, you know, Linda was down here, and so we were out enjoying beer rather than enjoying content. But there was a little bit of content that I did catch. There was Carol.
Yep.
That's really getting good.
Yeah, I like that show. It's cute.
Kelsey Grammer's now apparently a big part of the show, or a well, I don't know if he's we don't know where it's gonna go, but mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer's been inferred into mm-hmm. the show. And the other one was outmatched. I always say outsmarted.
I know. Well, that's because everything outsmarts you, Psy.
Well, no, because the kids are smarter than the parents. That's okay. The whole gist of the show.
Outsmarted would make sense, actually. Yeah. They should have named it that.
I was already a big fan of the show, mm-hmm. but it's Jason Biggs, right? Mm-hmm. And
Lady from Psych, Maggie Lawson.
Maggie Lawson, thank you. And this week, though, they did kind of like an American Pie reunion.
Awesome.
So we had Allison from American Pie. She's
Allison Hannigan.
Allison Hannigan.
Yeah, I have to watch it because she was on How I Met Your Mother, too.
Oh, you've not seen it. Okay.
No, yeah, remember I said I haven't watched it. Oh. Now I have to see it. Now I have to.
Yeah, you totally have to. She's also on Penn and Teller. She hosts, or she's the MC for Penn and Teller's Fool Us.
Did not know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you're not watching Penn and Teller's Fool Us and you like magicians, go watch that show. Oh, that show is awesome.
What channel is that on?
It's CW.
Okay, I did not know that.
Oh, so the premise of sidetrack. Penn and Teller's Fool Us is basically Penn and Teller sit in a chair and they watch a magician's act, and if the magician can fool them, they get one, a trophy, and two, a spot on the stage in Vegas at Penn and Teller's show.
I would love that. I love that. them.
And I got to tell you, not often they are fooled. They know what the magician is doing. They can describe it in somewhat pseudo code, and you know, tell the magician, yeah, I think, you know, there was this magician one time named this, and he did that. And I really think there was a switch on the thing that did the other thing. And we don't think you fooled us. And then, of course, there's like judges in the background that will go like, okay, yeah, Penn and Teller know exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to think the ratio is like maybe 20%, maybe less. Probably less than 20%. They're pretty well clued into what the magicians are doing on stage. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, there's been some acts that have gone up there where I'm just like slow mowing like one frame at a time, trying to see where that, you know, that palm happened, mm-hmm. or that you know, second card shuffle happened. There's been some incredible acts up there. If you like magicians, if you like being fooled by magic, and sometimes even fooled by magic where you know what they're doing, you just can't physically see them doing it. Yeah, this is the show for you. So yeah, go watch that. And Allison is the MC for that. In the early years, it was the British guy. What's his name? Steve? Is it Stephen? I can't think of his name. I can see his face. But there was a different guy that did the like season one and maybe two of this. There's a ton of them out on YouTube.
I can't believe I haven't heard of this, and it's been on CW this whole time.
Oh yeah, it's totally on CW. That's where I kind of got screwed up, because for me, CW kind of went away for a while, and then we got a local station that picked up CW, and now I can get it back. But and then back to Outmatched. Mm-hmm. It was Allison and the guy's name, the
Stifler, Swiftler,
Stifler.
Yeah,
Stifler. So it was Allison and Stifler are another couple that Jason Biggs and was that
Maggie Lawson
meet, and it just kind of felt like a an American Pie reunion.
Ooh.
With them like all in the same room just doing, you know, characters and shit. So yeah, that's pretty much I really haven't watched a lot of. I did catch, what was it? Super Size Me 2, which is out on YouTube with commercials. So if you want to watch it with commercials, it's out there. I did enjoy the first Super Size Me. There's a bit of hyperbole and, hype, you know, around the show. And then the second one, kind of in a similar situation, there's some distancing you need to do for yourself and thinking about what's being presented to you, whether it's, you know, a non-angled type presentation.
A grain of dollar salt.
It's a documentary with an angle is the way I like to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make some good valid points. There were things that I did learn there. So I can't just like say, this is just not worth your time. Go watch it. Watch it with a critical eye, and decide whether, you know, you're pro, con, whatever. But the basic gist of it is Morgan Spurlock has decided after all these years. It's been, I think, 12 years at the time of the filming, where he wants to open his own fast food restaurant that's healthy.
Okay.
But he doesn't really do that. And that's where I kind of took, you know, that's where the grain of salt came in for me.
Okay.
So he didn't really
follow through.
He didn't really create a fast food restaurant that was healthy. What he did was create a fast food restaurant in the style of other fast food restaurants. And then he showed you behind the scenes how that works. So like how Big Chicken works and how the Chicken Farmers Association is, you know, kind of vying to, you know, just like crank out chickens and how marketing works. And like there was my favorite term in the whole show was healthy halo. So you create a product and then you build a healthy halo around it. Yeah, so you
see that.
Yeah.
The appearance of healthy.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And so in his final iteration of this, he put up he opened a restaurant that was called something chicken. What the hell was it called? Not chicken. I just watched the damn thing. Anyway, he opened a restaurant that was serving basically, quote, grilled, unquote, grilled fried chicken. So, you know, it was fried chicken that they painted the grill marks on. The grill marks were there just to make you think it was more healthier because it was grilled. But that's what you know,
they really do that? You think they do that?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, he researched the colors that he used in his restaurant. He researched the font, like the whole back end story. So he actually became a chicken farmer.
Oh, okay.
So he actually hired a guy to raise chickens for him on a farm called Morganic. Because he's Morgan Spurlock, and he wanted it to sound organic, even though they weren't organic chickens.
Yeah.
He made them free range by just giving them like a full like 3 1/4 square feet of space outside their enclosure that they could if they wanted to walk out into. But unfortunately, because you know the chicken that we eat, you know, it from McDonald's or any of these other places, the chicken we eat is genetically bred that like to produce meat. Uh-huh. So these poor chickens like can barely stand up. Like they can barely. It is, but you know, you have to kind of look at yourself. We're the apex, right? We're the apex predator. We're designing these chickens to feed us, not for any other reason. They're not meant to be happy. They're not meant to be pets. They're not meant to be any of this other stuff. And that's really freaking sad. We're trying to feed a planet, so I get it. But I mean, I see it from both. And that's the thing, is I can see things from both angles.
Yeah.
And as much as, and this is kind of touches on another thing, but we're not going to go into that thing. I can see things from both angles. So I'm not going to say it's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm going to say it's a thing. This is what's happening. And so now how do we treat it? Right.
Mm.
And the whole coronavirus thing is a thing. So how do we treat it? And like some people are like going crazy, coronavirus wiping down like their whole house. They're like the knobs. And
I changed the bed sheets. That's as far as I went.
Right. But well, that's the thing is it's a thing, but how are we treating it? Right. Mm-hmm. And I like to go into those spaces, explore those spaces, learn those spaces, and then step back and go, okay, this is what I think. And I try to look at it with a critical eye. And, you know, I've got my opinion. Other people have their opinion. I'm not wrong. They're not wrong. No one's wrong. We're just objectively looking at things and making decisions. And there's nothing wrong in that. And this will get me into great trouble at some point. But, you know, Hitler had an opinion and he made choices based on his opinions. And I can't fault him for his thinking, even though I still can fault him for his ethics. So that's, yeah, right. There's like a whole separation there, and it's hard to communicate that to a lot of people. I try to communicate it. I understand where you're coming from, but where you're coming from may not necessarily be a healthy place.
I wouldn't say I know where Hitler was coming from.
But you have to, if you can like stick yourself in his shoes, he thought he was doing good, right?
I don't know if he thought that.
He did. No, he totally did. He thought the Jews were dirty. He thought the Jews were just killing the rest of the world. And that was his viewpoint. So if you can swivel yourself to that viewpoint and think about it from his point of view, he did what he thought was right. And I can't fault him for that, but I can fault him for his morals. I can fault him for his ethics.
Actions. Because, how about his actions?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the things he was doing were outside the realm of ethical or moral or, you know, and that's where I get myself into a lot of trouble, because sometimes, you know, online, I'll play devil's advocate. Somebody will say something and I'll just be like, okay, well, you know, I'll take the counter of that. And so what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? And then the next thing you know, I've got, you know, all these people that are hating on me because
They think you actually think that.
I'm very much a skeptic. If you give me a line of inquiry, I am going to ask all the questions around that line and figure out which, you know, little section of it that I can fall into. But I am happy to take that line of inquiry and just go, oh, what if the opposite?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if,
on the other hand,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that gets me, that does get me into a lot of trouble online. That's why I really don't do Twitter or any of that other shit. I could get away with it on Google+. I don't think I could get away with it on Facebook. MeWe is basically died the G+ death, but it doesn't know that it's dead yet. So
the few loyal are keeping it going.
Yeah, and good for them, but I don't think it's gonna survive too much longer.
I think I'm done with any new social media. I'll stick to what I do. I'm fine with Facebook and Twitter pretty much.
Yeah, I can't do either of those. They're just cesspools for the most part.
Yeah. Facebook, I just do it because all my old friends and my family are on there, so I do it to keep up with them.
So you had some You had some topics for entertainment, did you not?
Yeah, I started watching War of the Worlds today. I didn't realize it was already out. It's been out for like a week or 2 weeks or something.
Is that Hulu?
No, it's Epics. But yeah, but what I saw said the first three episodes are free, and it said through Amazon Prime. So you might be able to find the first three episodes for free on Amazon Prime. It's good. I like it. It's got that frenetic, you know, kind of, what do you call it? Shaky cam type thing of like World War Z or something. The only thing it's missing are zombies. There are no zombies, but you know, everyone's running around. Everyone's frantic and desperate and looting and, you know, speeding off in cars and just all that stuff. And it's a little bit, huh?
I'll confirm it right now. Amazon Prime, episode 1-3 is on Prime. Episode 4, watch on Epics. So they want you to pick up a through Amazon subscription to Epics to watch the remainder of the show. But I will definitely be watching at least the first three episodes. Because we're actually living that right now, except we're the aliens.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we don't have people dead in the street yet. Hopefully we won't. And there aren't mechanized aliens hunting us down yet, I hope.
Yet.
But the whole mechanized thing reminds me of Falling Skies.
Loved Falling Skies. That was a fantastic freaking series.
It was. Even though I kind of hated, I felt like it fell in a rabbit hole when their daughter grew up overnight and was some kind of supernatural alien conductor thing. I was not thrilled with that at all. That was just weird. I was like, y'all have jumped the shark. But before then, I loved it.
Well, yeah, I mean, even after that, they managed to recover nicely from that, I think. I'm in agreement with you on the whole daughter thing, but that was one of those shows that I thought just did not get as much traction as it should have gotten.
Should have.
And like, I really feel like that show felt a lot like what's the one I'm watching now that I don't love all that much, but I watch it because I can't stop. The Manifest.
Oh, I like Manifest, but yeah, it's a little bit, you know, situation of the week.
Like there's like a parallel between the style of the writing and the show. Mm-hmm. Manifest is one of those shows where I won't necessarily watch every single episode right as they come out, but I'll definitely watch them because I'm somewhat invested in the characters. I'm somewhat invested in the story. I don't yet know where it's going, and I don't think the writers even do. They're just kind of.
I hope they do. I hope they have something they're building toward.
I kind of hope they do, but it doesn't feel like it yet. Like. In situations like that, I almost feel like the writers can't help themselves but give you little clues along the way. And maybe they're good writers and I'm not catching the clues, but I don't feel like I'm getting any clues. I just don't know where they're going.
It is kind of like just chasing its own tail.
Yeah.
What happens next? Oh, this happens. This happens.
Yeah, Emergence is the same way. It's just kind of feels very organic, and I don't know where it's going, and I don't think they know where it's going. We're just all along for the same ride. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I hope they have some kind of end game, huh?
I'm totally not opposed to that style of writing. Yeah, if you're going to write it week to week and keep everybody guessing, I mean, I'm okay with that, as long as it doesn't become Lost, right?
Please God, no love.
Yeah, where it takes some act of God that just, you know, breaks all of physics and reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't end it that way.
Manifest is pretty much breaking all the rules we know. I mean, they disappeared for 5.5 years, and now there's a whole bunch of like supernatural, mystical stuff they're bringing in, some kind of Buddhist thing, and a guy who, you know, in ancient times died for like 10 years and then came back for 10 years.
Yeah, they're trying to call back to like more cement the storyline into something. But I want to see where it goes. I don't know if they're dead in the water yet. They could still save themselves, but it kind of does feel like they're just going down the drain at this point.
Yeah, and they're biding their time a lot. That might be because, you know, they have to fill an entire season, but sometimes it feels like an episode goes by at a glacial pace. It's kind of like a soap opera. Nothing really happens.
Yeah.
An episode goes by and you're like, so did we move the needle at all? No?
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, it's it happens from time to time. You get these series, these shows that go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons, whatever. And they just kind of run out of steam at some point. And I think the writers understand that they're just kind of out of material, or they're going to run themselves into a dead end, or in some very rare cases, they'll come up against a thing where they're like, you know, we could write it this way, but then that ends it. Mm-hmm. And if we write it this way, it'll be awesome. But then it's ended. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they go down that road. And I think, I know I just recently heard Lost in Space is.
Yeah, after the third season.
Third season, yeah. It's got third. It's been approved for a third season, but the third season is going to be the last. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to say, I'm not hating that.
It might be okay.
Yeah, I'm somewhat okay with that. One of the shows I've always looked up to was Babylon 5. Yeah. Babylon 5 had a five year run, yeah, and 5 years worth of script, and it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yeah. And I'm really thankful for having a full story in that way, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really want something that's, you know, potentially as good as like Breaking Bad. That just goes forever because
you don't want a Walking Dead.
No, we don't. Walking Dead was probably good after the first 2 or 3 seasons, and then it should have just died, but it didn't. It just kept going.
When they fired Darabont, they should have killed it because he was the best thing, and it just went downhill steadily after that.
Where are we at on that? It's like 9 seasons or 8 seasons or.
I think it's a 10.
It started in 2010.
Yeah. And I stopped watching like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I think. Because it's just, that's another show. They keep the villains too long.
Yeah.
They spin their wheels too long. They just spend too much time on stupid stuff that no one's interested in.
Yeah, and they grind the main characters into the ground to the point where you don't care about them anymore. And then they kill them.
Recognize them anymore.
Yeah.
That's horrible. I'm just done with it. It's just, it needed to end years ago.
Yeah, so a story should always have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the basics of story writing.
It's exactly what The Good Place said. It doesn't mean anything if it never ends.
Exactly. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, callbacks.
Callback.
Two shows ago. Wow, mm-hmm. That is the perfect callback because you are 100% right. It mm-hmm. does not mean anything if there's no end. And you're right 100%.
Yeah.
But why does Hollywood and TV not understand that? Because they're constantly trying to just grind it into the ground. Let's keep it going.
It's a money ticket, and I guess as long as at least most of the audience is there, they'll still keep doing it.
I mean, I guess I get it because, you know, Days of Our Lives or General Hospital, those went on for decades.
Yeah.
50 decades.
Some of them are still on.
Yeah, but and people still watch for some god-awful unforeseen reason. Yeah, I don't, I like Can you imagine getting in? I'm just now getting into General Hospital, and now I'm going to go binge watch everything that came before.
You can't. But I used to watch soap operas when I was a teenager. And, I mean, you know, they do refresh the storylines every few years. They get new characters. So, it may be different from one decade to another. So, if you pick up General Hospital, I don't think that's around anymore. But if you pick up Days of Our Lives, first of all, it's not hard to figure out what's going on. I mean, they make it pretty obvious. Okay, you've got this family, and so-and-so used to be married to so-and-so, and she got into a coma, and he married someone else, but she came out of the coma, and turns out she had an evil twin sister and all this stuff.
Twin sister, evil twin brother, oh, they were accidentally married, and yeah.
And then they discovered they had a child they didn't know about, and the child is in a relationship with their son that they didn't know about, and all this stuff. You figure it out. You pick it up pretty quickly what's going on.
Yeah. Again, he's going to inherit everything. And yeah, no, it's that was Dallas. That was what was the one with
Dynasty?
Dynasty. Thank you. Oh, wow. You can read my mind.
I know.
I didn't even say her name. Oh, wow. You're good. That's. Like, there are a lot of shows that are very formulaic. So, like, I'm a huge fan. Okay, I know we kicked Nathan Fillion out of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 5 years ago.
He kicked himself out.
Well, yeah, right. But he's now on The Rookie.
The Rookie. Mm-hmm.
And I love this show. I watched a little bit of Castle, and I enjoyed Castle, but I love The Rookie.
Okay. I thought it would be a formulaic show, so I never even gave it a chance.
It is 100% a formulaic show. Yeah. If you remember, I actually took a course on this at some point in my life. It's Emergency 51. Do you remember that show? Chips.
I remember that.
Okay, it's very much like Chips. So there's like a broad arc over the course of that one show. Mm-hmm. There's a broader arc over the course of the series. Season. Okay. Yeah, the season or series. And then there's all these little mini arcs that are like your interaction with that one perpetrator or that one crime, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like you, as a watcher, you get a little mini story, a mini story, a mini story, and then an update to a bigger story, and then mini story, mini story, mini story, update to a bigger story, and you do that several iterations, and then you get the update to the big story, right? It's a lot of callbacks, and I am a huge fan of callbacks.
Me too.
So those little callbacks, you know, like through those mini stories or through those arcs, those mini arcs are what's keeping me going throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And plus they're very good at pulling in great actors. Like there was an episode that was just like littered with Firefly.
Stuff. No, that's
good. And I was just like, I can't hate this. I can't hate this because I get all the little tiny little things you play.
Brown code and
right.
I miss that.
Oh. And those are callbacks, right? Those are like
shout outs.
Yeah, we recognize we're you know cops on a beat in LA, but you know once we were out in space and this happened and that happened. This happened.
It's like a little bit of fan service.
Yeah, and Wash was on there in one episode, and I love Wash.
Good.
He's not dead.
He came back to life. Yay.
Yeah, he's not just a floating leaf on the tree. You know, a floating leaf.
Zoe has her own show, so I don't know if she'd be on, but it would be nice to have her on.
What was Zoe on?
Oh, she's on a show.
CW?
No. She they're having a spinoff of Suits because she was on Suits and she's getting her own spinoff of the character.
Oh, okay. So kind of like Good Wife and what was the one that came after that? The Good Life?
Good something. The Good Knife?
Good. I thought it was Good Life, but no. Yeah, but you.
Good. The Good. I don't remember. I never watched A Good Wife.
The Good Fight.
The Good Fight. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, that was actually not a bad series either. And the good, yeah, oh, yeah, and the guy from The Good Wife.
Alan Cumming?
Yeah.
I love him.
You read my mind. Stop it, Lola. Stop reading my mind. Get out of my head.
Coronavirus. I'm in there.
Get out of my head, girl. Alan Cummings is one of the best freaking actors. He did that other show where he was
Instinct.
Instinct. Yeah. Stop it. No, stop it. We watch the same shows, even though we don't really communicate about it.
We do. We watch them all.
That was such a great show. I'm so pissed that it was canceled because I was really loving that show.
It was good.
There's so many other shows you could cancel, and I would not be mad. But that was one of them that I was like, God damn it. I like that show.
I know. I guess it didn't really appeal to the millennials. You know?
Well, I guess it's somewhat understandable. The world we live in has such a diverse atmosphere that it's really hard to cater to the masses when the masses are so cloistered. Yeah. Is that the word? Yeah, they're all very
cliquish.
Yeah, it's I think it's really hard to find, and that's where I think we're kind of coming back around to Married with Children. Outmatched, the things of that nature that are just like, yeah, really short, really like just some people can relate, some people can't relate, but they can laugh at it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to be paying attention every second to know what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, there's like no big arc to Outmatched. They're just, you know, doing shows. That was one of the things I liked about that. Was it Maggie's Bar?
Oh, Abby's.
Abby's. Wow. Stop it. Get out of my head.
When I edited the audio show, you know, I ended up listening to the audio show like 3 times. So I remember that we talked about that.
Did you ever watch that show?
No, I my mom did. I just didn't know if I'd like it. It seemed like Cheers in a backyard.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. You nailed that too. It's one of those shows like Frasier or The Odd Couple, or it's one of those shows you can just sit down and watch and you don't have to think about it. You just have to enjoy it. That's all you can do. You just go from point A to point B, and then 30 minutes later, you're off the bus. You're doing something else. And I think for a lot of people right now, like in the area in life most people are at, on the bus, 30 minutes off the bus is all you can really take, because – you know, these epic stories like 12 Monkeys or Breaking Bad, or like these really long stories take too much time out of your day. They take too much. They take a lot of mental capacity to process. And I kind of feel like those are kind of dying, even though I love those so much. I want more of them. I actually kind of want more of them to take me away from this like 30 seconds of stupidity that we now watch on TV, but I understand it. I get both sides, so I don't know. I don't know where TV's going. I don't know where entertainment's going. I know there's been
canceled. Sorry, huh? I mean it. Right now everything's canceled.
Oh no, yeah, they've canceled filming on several productions, and I did want to give a shout out to our alternate podcast Under the Drome out on, you can find it out on SoundCloud. Jason Falter, he will tell you about just a couple of things that have been canceled due to the coronavirus. It's a real thing. It's happening. And, you know, as a society, we have to deal with it. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't know where to go from there. Lola, take it away.
Disney World closed.
Yeah,
that's like unprecedented. Has Disney World and Disneyland ever closed?
Not as far as I can remember.
Oh, that's unprecedented.
And had I had, you know, $500,000 I could invest in Disney stock, I would have done it like on Friday, because their stock was down to $89.
Wow.
The stock market's been going crazy.
I know. I actually bought some stock. I just hope that it bounces back.
Oh no, depending on what you bought, it probably will. So Disney stock a month ago, if I remember right, was like $140. Dropped down to $89 at the closing on Friday, and I totally wish I had money to buy that.
No.
Because it's already back up to 101.
Oh, like, it bounced back some?
A little bit, yeah. Well, you know, the maybe it was Thursday. So Friday, Trump came out, had some announcements about drug companies, testing, coronavirus, all these other things. And that kind of gave a bolster to the stock market. I don't know that it's warranted, but then again, all the negative things he said that made the stock market drop, I don't think were warranted either. So we're just kind of in this like strange, weird territory where we have to kind of, I don't know, imagine where things can go or where they could go or where they did go, and then just make choices. But in all honesty, if you've got a 401k and you're worried about your money all going away, just stick in it for another
four years. At your 401. I remember this from 2008 because I panicked and I had no reason to panic. I actually took classes about stuff like this, but I panicked anyways. And I shouldn't have panicked, because don't look at your 401k while this is happening, because it's going to be tanking, but they'll bounce back. Now is a good time to buy if you think there's some stock that you like that you think will be around for a long time. Maybe you could buy it now. But don't sell anything and don't look at your account.
100% you are correct. That is the exact advice that I would give to anybody right now. If you have spare money, buy stock. Mm-hmm. Buy stock. It's on sale.
It is.
The stock market's down like 10% every day for the last 3 or 4 days. So that's like, I don't know, 20% at this point. The stock market's just plummeting. Buy stock, but buy stock in things that you know are undervalued. So when you look at Disney, Disney has all this IP. They have Star Wars. They have Marvel. They have all the Disney properties. They have Hulu. They have all these things. Disney's not going to die. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere. They'll be here 100 years from now. I fully believe that in my heart.
Me too.
So Disney's a great stock to invest in if you think they're undervalued. Mm-hmm. Cisco runs pretty much the entire backbone of the internet. Mm-hmm. The internet's not going anywhere anytime soon. If you think Cisco stock is undervalued, buy Cisco stock. The mm-hmm. thing that I was thinking, so I went through this whole thing with the hard drive, right? Mm-hmm. I know that Amazon has Pantry, right? Mm-hmm. So there's Amazon Pantry. So Amazon Pantry is those like things you need right now, and you just
want like a grocery store. It's more like grocery store stuff.
It's usually grocery store stuff, but they're actually really smart about it because they actually cover the techie geeky guys like me.
I didn't know that. I thought it was all grocery store stuff. Okay.
So normally when there's no coronavirus outbreak, you can go to Amazon and Pantry and you can look for an SSD drive and there'll be one in Pantry from a local. What they do is they source local sellers. Oh. So they'll go to Best Buy or whatever and they'll source something local. They'll upmarket a wee bit, but they'll get it to you in 2 hours, right?
Yeah, so
exactly. So you don't have to go out to the store to get it. You have to risk getting contaminated by the coronavirus.
Exactly. Just don't ask for toilet paper.
Unfortunately, the coronavirus has broken Amazon at this point. Yeah. And when my hard drive died, I found an appropriate hard drive to replace my dead hard drive on Amazon Pantry. Mm-hmm. 2 hour delivery window, but there was no delivery windows available until at least Wednesday.
That sucks.
And I have to work from home on Monday, so that was not going to work for me. So I had to go out into the human population and risk, you know, my own health as well as the health of others to source myself a hard drive that I could function with. And that's what I'm running on now. But
you're so brave.
If I had had enough foresight, like when all this started, I would have said, you know what? Everybody's going to end up at home and everybody's going to end up ordering shit online. Mm-hmm. And Amazon stock's probably going to go through the roof. I would have bought Amazon stock, but I was not thinking that. So I don't have any Amazon stock, but you know, go ahead.
Well, Amazon may end up settling down. I mean, it's spiking now because everyone's excited Amazon, but once everything settles down, it could go back to its normal range.
Well, you know, you can buy Disney stock in 1980 at 80 cents a share and sell it in 2020 January at 140 a share.
How much of a markup that is.
It's
160%, something like that, huh?
It's over 140%. So yeah, you can do that if you're just, you know, lucky, smart, whatever. I don't know what it takes to do that. I never bought any Disney shares in 1980.
Yeah.
That's what they came out at, though, was 80 cents a share. But ideally, right now, I mean, when we're facing all this uncertainty in the market, you can make uncertainty play to your benefit if you are willing to, you know, gamble a wee bit. If there's and you gotta kind of, that's the thing, is you gotta kind of trust your gut
and be just use common sense. I mean,
well, yeah, and by gut, I'm kind of saying common sense. Yeah, if in 9/11, I doubled my money. I invested in the stock market right after 9/11 because, one, the stock market had plummeted. Like, there was, like, it was just, it was attack on the U.S. and no one saw that coming. And the stock market was down so much. And I was like, you know what? What can I do? I can put money into the stock market to kind of help prop it up. One, or, and, well, one, but two, mainly two, to make some money for myself, because yeah, we're a capitalist society.
Yeah.
So I bought into the two stocks I bought was Cisco, which is networking equipment. They're not going anywhere. Uh-uh. The internet's not going to die because a plane crashed into a tower. And the other one was American Airlines. And American Airlines, they're
not because a lot of airlines go under. Huh?
Well, three of the planes during 9/11 were American Airlines planes. And I think that was why they had plummeted, their stock had plummeted so much. And I was like, well, that's, I was looking at the stock and it was like, oh, it's just, that's just, that stock is way, 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 way undervalued. So I bought a few shares. Within 2 months, I doubled my money on American Airlines. I didn't quite double my money on Cisco, but I came kind of close. And it was one of those short-term deals where, like, I was in, 6 months later, I was out. You know, you buy your stock, you make your money, you sell it, you're out. And that's kind of what I think, if we ever want to rebalance the society that we're in, where, you know, we've got 1% of the people in the U.S. have 99% of the profits, right now is where we can kind of level that a little bit, but not a lot. I mean, if you're playing with hundreds where some guy over there is playing with millions,
we're not going to catch up.
Yeah, we're not going to catch up, but we can kind of make it a little closer, right? We can try. So if you've got any spare money out there right now, I'm telling you, go look at the stocks. Go look at what stocks are worth, what they've historically been worth. And when you go, oh, Disney, two months ago was worth this much, but they're worth this much now. What do you think they should be worth? Because to me, something like Disney, they have all that intellectual property. They're not going to lose money.
They're not going anywhere.
No, they can make another Star Wars movie and, you know, all the money they lost in the stock market is suddenly made up.
All right? The merchandise.
Merchandise and the granted, yes, they've closed their Disneyland, Disney World. They closed those sites. They're going to open back up though, and they're going to make money.
And people will come back. The people who are supposed to go this month will come back then.
And on the converse of that, you know, if you're heavily invested right now in toilet paper, you're making a killing.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what, Georgia Pacific or whatever? Those people are killing it.
Yeah, but if you're invested in that, I highly recommend you sell all that off now, because that's not going to last. At some point, somebody's going to realize, you know what? I'm not dying. I'm not crapping myself to death. I've got toilet paper here to last me for 20 years. So maybe I just never buy toilet paper again.
And then plummet because no one needs it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly you'll buy a roll of toilet paper on eBay for, you know, a nickel. Because that day's coming. It's coming. It all comes around. It's cyclical. So be thinking, I mean, if you're investing, be thinking about who's undervalued, who's overvalued, and then either buy, sell, based on those decisions. That's, as an investor, that's what you do. And that's how you will make your little nest egg for the rest of your life. So,
woo. And I just realized I was really wrong about that math. I used to be good at math, but that was 20 something years ago. It's way more than 100%. It's really more like 100 times. Because if it was 80 cents then, and it's $80 now, or
140.
So let's say, so even like say $80 just to make it easy, 10 times over 80 cents would be $8. So it would be, I think, 100 times over 80 cents to get to $80.
No. 10 times over 80 cents is not, is it? Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're right.
It's $8.
You're right. Your math is good.
Yeah. And so then I think, wouldn't it be 100 times over to get to $80? 80 yep. cents. And then so almost 200 times over to get to 140. I don't even know.
Well, you said 160 on a fluke, and I'm thinking you're probably really close.
Okay. It would be a lot more than 100 and something percent over.
But I mean, so we're all sitting at home. So you've seen announcements of AT&T is opening up their broadband.
Yeah.
Who's actually profiting from this? Amazon's going to profit from this right now because
Instacart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Instacart. Yeah, they're all, everybody's doing home deliveries.
Walmart.
You got broadband. You got Netflix. Netflix is going to do pretty good business, I would think.
I would think so too.
Yeah, they'll probably pick up a few new viewers because you got all these at-home workers that are not going to be working, in all honesty.
Supposed to be. Shame on them.
I'm actually very afeared to work from home because not only am I at home, but so is my wife and so are all of my kids because all their school's canceled. Mm-hmm. So I am stuck at home with the family and I don't know that I'm going to be able to function in a working capacity with the family, the dog, everything. I don't think I can do it. I may actually have to drive to work, go into my little secluded building because I pretty much work on my own anyway.
Which is good.
It's freaking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen another work human being in 2 weeks.
I'm so jealous. I wish I could work like that.
It's good, but I mean, it's kind of lonely, but I don't mind it. I'm an
introvert. I like lonely.
Yeah. I'm on the same boat as you, man. I like lonely. I don't like when I'm working, I just like to work.
I just want to sit there and work. I don't like when people interrupt me. I don't like any of that.
Well, when they interrupt me, I lose my train of thought and there's this whole context switch and I have to unload everything that's in my brain now and load up everything you're talking about. And then when you're done, I have to unload all that and put this other shit back into my head.
Remember what you were doing. And
yeah. Like what was, how far did I get? Yeah.
I hate that. I'd rather just sit there and work.
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it and get it done with and then move on to something else. Yeah.
I saw a funny meme, they were talking about how introverts feel about self-quarantining.
Yay!
And it was a gif of Tahani from The Good Place. And she was saying, I have been training for this my entire life.
Yeah, I'm on board. And in my mind, it's actually the Carlton dance meme.
Me too. I'm like, oh, I can't go anywhere for 2 days. This is so horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I know. I'm in bed and I'm watching War of the Worlds. I'm like, I'm happy. I'm just dancing my little heart out.